Shall we do our clap?
Sure.
Okay. You sound so energetic. Okay, ready? It'll be 1, 2, 3, clap. Ready? One?
Yes.
Okay, ready? One?
Yeah.
Two? One? Ready? One?
Yeah.
Ready? One, two, three.
Sex. Tech. Rock. Yeah, it's the Blonde Swedes Podcast Season 2, and I'm your new host. That's right, we read your cards and your letters after the debacle of the last podcast, and, well, there were some changes made over in the home office in Sweden. So welcome to a new season of nothing but high-quality professional content. That's right, no more rambling, no more Rush references, no more geeky Apple talk, no more fast food plugs. So sit back and relax, because here come the Swedes.
You're the center of your area.
I am the center of my area. My area revolves around me.
How do you spell area?
How do I spell area? Isn't that the thing on the end of the boob? No, that's different.
I thought it was the green light you see when you take paranormal photographs.
That could, it could be.
Hi.
Well, it's a lot of things, Philip. I mean, the previous guy was shorter, so I have to move the chair down. Hey, did you wash this mic after he... What? Oh, yes, I'm... Hello and welcome to the Blonde Swedes Podcast Season 2. In this edition, Shorn's adventures in Florida, exciting sponsorship opportunities, news from the animal world, death, and much more. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this edition of...
The Blonde Swedes Podcast.
So, yeah, as always, you know, it's been so long since we've done one of these that get set up, and I'm like, I don't even know how any of this stuff works anymore. It's like, did I put the microphone? Like, how did I listen to the phone and the mic? Like, come on. I had to find my old headphone and my old other headphone. And
yeah, I don't have any headphone. This is the first time I've had to actually hold the phone, you know what I mean?
I see. That's going to get tiring.
Yeah, I got my elbow propped up on the table.
Oh, yeah, that's much better ergonomically.
Well, this is a pretty entertaining setup here. I mean, I'm at the hotel here, and I don't have a microphone stand. So I've got the microphone's body tucked into one of my travel bags, into the top of one of my travel bags. I'm using that as a tripod. And this room has horrible flutter echoes, so I've got pillows arranged all around my desk here to, like, absorb the sound.
You've got to find some way to take a picture of all this.
Yeah, I will. It seems to be working pretty well. And I did some testing before I came to decide what microphone to bring. This is the first time I've podcasted with this microphone.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's a Logitech karaoke mic for a PlayStation 2.
Wow!
$12.
And it works that well?
It was the best USB solution I have.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, it's really good. It sounds like $50. Easy.
Wow, you get an extra $30 out of the deal.
News from space.
What's this I keep hearing?
Well, good.
About there being enough frozen water on Mars to cover it 35 feet deep.
I just read that. That's so funny.
Okay, in your experience, when water melts, does it expand by like 10 times?
No. No.
Well, then if the planet's not covered in ice... Right. When you melt the ice, it cannot be covered in water.
That's what I would think. Unless, you know, the ice is miles and miles and miles high, perhaps. Off the surface?
Like like tens of thousands of miles.
Yeah, perhaps. Maybe that's what they're saying. It's 10,000 miles high.
And crystal clear, so we can't see it from Earth.
Yeah, see, I read that and had the kind of the same reaction. I couldn't... It always confuses me when they say stuff like this, because they say it a lot, especially when it comes to space things, that, you know, if the caps would melt, it would flood the whole surface. Like, well, with an inch deep, maybe, you know, or a centimeter of water over the whole surface, but really?
Right.
I mean, or maybe the cap... Well, no, I don't know.
And,
don't
and have they taken into account the fact that the surface is porous?
Right.
And rather water-starved?
Yeah, yeah. That's
and will
good.
Act like a sponge?
Maybe,
I
right.
mean, it's baffling to me.
And why are they trying to get us all scared about Mars flooding?
Oh, no, no. It's not to get us scared of Mars flooding.
You know.
We're supposed to be excited.
Are we going to build levees on Mars or something? See, it's just
We could go to Mars because, you know, it's not so great here anymore.
No, it's not.
This place is, you know.
We've kind of used it up, really.
Mm-hmm. There's not another place to put another Burger King.
Right. Do you have a lot of Burger Kings around you? Is that because you brought this up a couple of times?
And now, a word from our new sponsor.
Well, it's kind of, you know, just one of those markers that you're in the same place you've always been in.
Right.
And you may, you know, whoop-de-doo, you traveled 1,200 miles. You're still exactly where you were.
Right.
Because there's the Burger King.
Right.
And the lady at the drive-thru may have a slightly different accent you've not heard. But beyond that, it's really no different.
It's the same thing. And, you know, especially with those kind of strip mall-y or franchise places, too, it's also not that, oh, there's a Burger King, I'm going to go in, wow, this one has really good fries. I mean, the taste is also like, oh, yeah. Yeah, that's what it tastes like.
Well, the whole reason, and it certainly is working on me very well, is that they get you to go because you know you're going to get the same thing
right.
you know of. And
right.
for people who are traveling, there's one of the primary anxieties is where am I going to get food?
Yes.
And will I enjoy it? And so you find, you know, the king, and there you are. You're going to get a juicy flame broiled burger, and you know exactly what it's going to taste like.
Wait a minute. Is Burger King a sponsor now?
Well, I'm actually kind of a fan of their advertising now.
Yeah.
I really like that whole, the
Creepy King.
They've got the king, Creepy King with the plastic mask, and it's kind of funny, and they're kind of self-deprecating, and I think they've done, I don't want to use the term hip, I think they've done something that youth culture will enjoy much better than McDonald's has.
I agree. And I got all the, my friend in Texas got me all of the Burger King Xbox games for Christmas.
Wow.
I have not played them yet, but...
We have Sneak King.
Yeah, I have all of them now. And it's funny, with Sneak King, I think it took me a month before I picked it up and I said, oh, it's sneaking. I get it. So I thought Sneak King. Like, that's a stupid name for a game.
But that's what you do.
I know. You sneak around and you...
And you give people tasty flame-broiled burgers.
That's right.
They and better depending be, on how stealthy you are at it, you get big points.
They better be giving us something. The four or five people that listen to this, you know.
Yeah.
I have to say about Burger King, though, I've got to say about them that, you know, someone who whose only meat option currently is fish. They have quite a tasty fish sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
And I usually, you know, if I'm in an airport,
and it's
I'm like,
friggin' huge.
It's huge. Huge. Mm-hmm. So if I'm in an airport and I don't know what to eat, it's always a safe bet, and it's always really, really good.
That's great.
Yeah. So, yeah, welcome to the Blonde Swedes podcast season two, brought to you by Burger King.
That's the commercial segment. Now we're going to start the show. It's kind of like, you know, when Howard Stern goes on break and there's 15 minutes of commercials all right. featuring Howard Stern.
Yeah.
And then you can't really tell when the show started again.
Right.
And then suddenly he's talking about foot powder or something. And then you realize that this is probably not the show. The worst on that, where you can't tell whether it's the commercial or the show, is that the old guy, Paul Harvey.
Oh, Paul Harvey, right.
When he's reading copy, it is absolutely impossible to tell when he's reading ad copy or news copy.
Yeah. Yeah, I know I've heard that before.
You know what I mean.
Yeah,
right?
I know exactly what you mean. Mm-hmm. Paul Harvey, wow. How old is Paul Harvey now? He's way up.
I have absolutely no idea. He may be 42. I don't know.
No, I don't think he's 42.
Maybe he just sounded like that when he was 10, and he's been broadcasting
well
ever since.
You know, that's the thing about Abe Vigoda, who is still around and still in movies, but now he actually is as old as he's always looked.
Oh, okay. Right. Yeah, because when he was on Taxi,
right,
he was 87.
Yeah.
And that was 30 years ago or something.
Yeah, and now it turns out he actually was like 50. And now he actually is 87. And you can't tell a difference. It's like, wow, it looks exactly the same, you know.
Well, that's the thing that changes the least, I think, with age is your voice. I think that's, you know, so any medium where you're not where you're heard and not seen, people will go, oh, that's Abe Vigoda.
Right.
And it doesn't matter how much physically he has or hasn't changed. It's you're going to know.
Yeah. I'm hoping to hit puberty myself.
You know, if we keep this podcasting thing going, we don't have to tell people how old we are.
That's right.
We just never, ever show a picture other than those ones taken in, you know, 1990.
The 1990s. I actually would be a lot happier if we did that from now on.
Yep.
Or you know, if we're going to take any more pictures of ourselves, I think we should do it from far away.
There's like this giant mountain vista.
Yeah.
And there's these two little dots next to a sequoia tree, you know. Way.
And that's us. And we could, you know, just set a timer on the camera for, you know, 20 minutes. And
20 minutes so we can, so we can get it over there. There's two little hunched over figures gasping for breath and by that sequoia tree.
Well, they look sweaty even from That's here.
Are they picking mushrooms? What are they doing?
On Music Services.
Yeah. So you got any other news items you've been
interested in about? Well, you know,
that have turned your world around.
Turned my world around. Well, I mean, there's the serious news items and there's the strange news. I mean, you know, there's that internet radio thing that everyone's all up in the air
the
about.
War.
Yeah,
the
war
has started.
Yes. So there's that whole thing and I mean, we could talk about that, but
well, yeah, I think that's pretty simple. I think it's whoever got that through. I wouldn't be surprised if the lobbyists are like, "Man, do you believe they actually went along with this?"
Yeah, right.
And they were it could be that they were never expecting to get these rates.
Yeah,
and they lobbied for them, thinking, "We'll lobby for this, and if we get 10% of it, cool." And they got the whole shooting match, and they're like, whoa.
Yeah.
Dude.
I know. It's like when you go to a job interview, and you're like, I don't want this job at all. And they say, how much, what your salary? And you go, oh, 95,000. And they go, I think we can do that. And you're like, what?
And you're like, fudge.
You know what? Little sidetrack, funny story. I did that with Texas Instruments. I applied
with Texas for a consulting job?
For a sales job back in the 90s, early 90s.
When you were still at CompuServe.
I think it was before I went to CompuServe. It was part of that whole interview process. And I interviewed with TI, and I thought, oh, this is cool. And they wanted me to go, like, door-to-door and sell computers.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And I said, I'm like, oh, thinking in the interview, I do not want to do this. And they asked me how much, and I forget what the amount was, but I gave them some insane, like, at that time, you know, $75,000.
Right.
And they called me the next day, and they said, yeah, we think we can meet that. I'm like, what? But I didn't do it.
All you have to do is sell 100 computers a day.
Yeah. I just, you know, I heard the job, and I'm like, there's no way I want to sell computers.
And this was with TI, not with some TI rep, and not with some TI vendor.
They had an office, and I don't know. They may have been a local office or a local sales office. I don't know what it was, really.
But it was TI, wasn't a vendor.
Yeah. No, it was actually them. It was selling the TI computers.
I can't imagine that. Even in 1992, I just can't imagine the doorbell ringing and a guy with a briefcase and some color glossies is like trying to sell me a desktop computer.
Exactly. And that's what I thought, too. I thought, no one's going to let me in their house. And if they do, they're going to be like, you're selling a computer door to door? You must be desperate. I'm not buying this from you.
It's like selling vegetables door to door. It's like, would you like to buy some broccoli? It's frozen.
Yeah.
I've got it in the truck.
And I just imagine like knocking on the door and, you know, older folks and, you know, hi, I'm selling a Texas Instrument computer. And they're like, what is that? You know, and it seemed like a nightmare to me.
Yeah.
So
that is an interesting story.
Door to door computer salesman.
I can't remember how we got here to, old employment tricks, but that's a good story.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it was the whole, the lobbyists asked for a lot.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay.
And they got...
That was so long ago. That was like 3-4 minutes ago, I said.
I know,
that.
I don't even remember who you are.
Yeah.
But, no, I think you're right, because when you look at the... I mean, I've got a couple friends who do kind of indie internet radio out of San Francisco, and when you look at the rates that they now have to pay, it's insanely huge.
Well, what's so funny is it's a pile on. It's a new fee. It's not an increase in fees. It's a whole new class of fees. You know, they were paying, whoever they were paying for, to play that recording of the song already.
Right.
Okay. And now this is to pay royalties on to the songwriter directly, or something.
Right.
And so it's a pile on, and it's much higher than the mechanical royalty rates were. So then if you whistle a song,
oh yeah, right,
you owe.
Yeah. Yeah, and this. The way it affects me most directly is that I lost Shorn Radio, and
yes, you did.
I wasn't really that upset about it until that happened, and
yeah, because they looked into their budget and they saw that it was zero,
right?
And they compared that to how fun jail would be.
Yeah.
And I think they wisely decided to.
I think they did too.
To submarine that little project.
Yeah. So I was like, well, I'm sure it'll work out. And then I turned on Shorn Radio, and it was gone. And I got I wrote a little support email and got an official response back, and then I was mad.
Well, like Shorn Radio could probably come back to life, but I think that what they would have to, the only programming you would find on it would be Blonde Swede's podcast.
Right. Oh, how horrible that would be.
So if you like to hear yourself talk, it would be a great station for you.
You know, they might pay you to stop. Maybe you could charge them a fee.
Well, if you could find a way to push broadcast.
Yeah, right.
you know, a little bit of racket. Nice speakers you have there. It'd be a shame if anything should come through them that you didn't like.
You know, you never know when a podcast might... Oops, oh, there goes one.
Those. We can offer some protection from that kind of activity.
It's time for the Blonde Swede's special animal news update.
Oh, I have another news story related to the mafia.
you do. He says do. As he sweats a little bit. Yes, what is that story?
Well, it's the guy who's doing some research on animal behavior, and he's found some behaviors in the animal kingdom which mimic mafia behavior.
Oh, really?
It's and I can't remember the it's among birds.
So
I think it's warblers are the victims.
Mm-hmm.
And something called a egg hen or something. I can't remember what the predatory bird is, but what it'll do, it'll sit there and like this researcher found that these warbler nests would have like one egg from this other bird in them.
Uh-huh.
And when it hatched, And the warblers wouldn't throw that egg out. It looked completely different. They obviously knew this was not their egg. They wouldn't throw it out of their nest. And when it was hatched, it would get better treatment than their own offspring.
What?
And
okay.
What's turning out is this bigger, brutish bird is waiting till the warbler lays their eggs, and they're in a vulnerable position. They can't move their nest.
Right.
And then he puts one of his eggs in there. And if anything happens to it, he trashes their nest.
Oh, man. Wow.
And so the warblers learn to give, you know, not only to not kick out the egg, but to give that chick preferential treatment
so that
they don't get their nest destroyed and their own offspring don't get, you know, kicked out of the nest.
Oh, my gosh. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Wow.
And wow. I don't know, I don't think that excuses the human behavior.
No, but it's interesting. You know, are the egg hens, you know, when confronted, are they like, no, hey, we're legitimate birds. We got a legitimate business over here.
this is how we evolved. This is just what, you know, a bird's gotta survive.
Well, we sell paint. We sell paint. There's nothing going on. Wow. That's fascinating. I'm going to have to look up that story. I'm really interested in that now.
They like our chicks.
Wow. Well, we're all over the place here. We'll go back to the music thing because I want to talk about it. But it reminded me of an animal thing. Which is sort of odd here in Seattle. I have been watching these baby opossums across the alley. You've seen kind of the alley where I get my mail. It's really kind of skinny, a few feet. And every night I've been like, oh, cute baby opossums. Oh, aren't they cute? Look at them. Oh, cute, you know, climbing up the tree. And two nights ago, I said, I think I'm going to stand here and watch them a little longer. And I watched, and one kind of climbed up on the fence, and there are four of them. And I'm like, oh, that's a rat. I'm like,
I can see where you get confused. The tails, you know, the tails are very, very similar.
Exactly. And I'm like, oh. And then, you know, like four rat heads pop up, and I'm like, okay, I'm just going to go back inside now. But I've never seen rats before in this city, and so I'm a bit confused as to what to do. So I'm just going to let them alone, and if they come over to this side, that's it. But very strange. And then I started looking.
You mean if you see them come over to your side?
Right, right. Either that or the cats are going to have a really good day. But it's interesting because
they'll stay away until they get very, very large. They're going to stay away because they can smell the cat.
Yeah. Right, right. And then when they get large enough that they can eat the cat.
That they don't give out. A rat's ass about the cat.
Ah, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
But it was interesting because I looked it up and apparently they're called Norwegian roof rats. And
they came over on a boat, I assume.
They did. They split the rats into two categories, old world rats and new world rats.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
He's a new world rat.
Yeah. So, you know, it was just this great moment of like, oh, it's the, oh, that's not good. And they're getting pretty big. I mean, the rat kind of looked at me like, what?
Right.
What? I'm like, okay. I'll just be going inside. Yeah, you're going inside.
Are you tasty garbage or are you not tasty garbage?
That's right. Tonight, you know, I'll be laying in my bed and I'll probably like wake up. One of the cat's heads will be in the bed. Ah, you know. Did you talk about us during the podcast? Did you talk about us? No, I didn't.
The Blonde Swedes music update.
So yes, music. Yes, it's a horrible thing.
Yeah. Well, yeah, speaking of music, Rush, a new Rush single came out last week.
Yes. How could we not?
First new Rush music we've heard in X years. What is it? It was 2002 when the previous record came out. So
right.
It's been almost 5 years.
Yeah. Very close. I can't remember when Vapor Trails came out, but.
Mm-hmm. And in typical Rush fashion, it seems to have, the marketing's not apparently not there.
No.
You know, their website is cool, this great new website and everything, but, you know, the single comes out and it kind of just shows up on iTunes in the middle of the week. Yeah. No, Apple has a iTunes new releases website, which I check almost daily.
Right.
And it's not like it takes much to get on that list. For example, right now on that list, the soundtrack to God of War 2, which if I'm not mistaken is a video game.
Yes, it is.
Is on the list.
Oh my God.
A band called Plastic Surgery Slumber Party is on the new music list. Rush is not.
That, yeah. This is
yet the song is on iTunes.
This is the history of being a Rush fan, and it's
like invisible. It's like the invisible band.
Yeah, and it's not like you know, they haven't been around or sold some albums. you know, it's like
there are very few touring acts who sold more.
Right, and yes. I tell people that, and they're shocked. I'm like, no, it's true.
They've got like 34 albums.
Right. And they've sold a lot of albums.
Yeah.
And yet it's just, you know, the website's cool. If you find it, if you happen upon it, you'll know that there's new Rush music. And if you don't, well, you know.
Right. But that's the other thing. Just like when Vapor Trails came out, they redid the website and it was, you know, almost trendy for 2002.
Right.
And then it didn't change for 5 years.
Yeah, exactly.
At all.
Right.
And is the same thing going to happen now? Okay, they redid the website. And I really hate how they cheesed out on the archive page. You know what the archive page is on the new Rush site?
No, I haven't looked at it.
It's the old site.
What?
The archive link on the front of the new site
is
the old
site.
Takes you to the old site.
Okay. Which has the same information, but just in a different wrapper, pretty much.
No, not in a different wrapper. The old site.
It's the old site.
The archive page is the old website.
Wow.
And it's like, that's like you didn't even try.
No, you didn't. Wow.
That's like, you know... Should we redo that CSS so it looks like a little like the new site? Nah.
Nah.
Just put a link to it.
Wow.
Call it archive or something.
And I hear that it also does, and I saw your you know, you copied me on the email. I actually forgot to say anything to you about it. But,
I was drunk when I sent that.
Oh, good. That's important.
Yeah, I was drunk and angry, and I sent an angry letter to the webmaster of Rush.com.
However, I think that you are valid in your complaint.
I'm totally valid.
Yes.
Not their computer. My computer.
Yes. Now, this is a, you know, an example. What were they doing? They were forcing...
They're forcing the your browser window to full screen.
Right. Which is one of the most annoying things that can happen.
Mm-hmm. It's like, we're going to... Okay, whatever else you thought you were doing with your computer...
Yeah.
Your computer is now a display device for our webpage.
Right.
And that is all it is. Until you decide to leave by closing this window.
Right. And you can't do anything like... Oh, whoops, I'll just minimize this, or, you know...
Because they maximized it using minimize.
Right.
They maximized the size of the minimum button.
Yeah, and there's a whole bunch of tricks in JavaScript that you can do. Like, if anyone ever tries to resize this, don't let them.
Right.
You know, that I'm sure they have in place, too, so...
Well, no, you can resize it. And that you know, it's doubly annoying. It's like you can fix, you know, just grab the corner and drag it back to where you want it. But why do I have to do that?
Right. Yeah, so you got drunk and fired off an angry email. This is what you do when you get drunk. Dude, last night I got drunk and I fired off these emails to webmasters. Oh, man. I need some help.
On the road with Sean.
Well, you know, it brings up a good point because, you know, we haven't done any talking about where you are right now.
Oh, yeah. I'm in Tampa, Florida.
Tampa, Florida.
The armpit of Florida.
Nice.
But it's a cool armpit. It's been, you know, breezy and cool. And I'm not even going to try to explain why I'm here because it's just so horribly, you know, not interesting. It just doesn't matter why I'm here. I'm just here. I'm here on business. Let's just put it that way. Leave it at that.
That's not a
you
little...
You know how businesses send you places sometimes?
Yeah.
Yeah. But, so I'm here for 3 days and, very nice hotel in Tampa, kind of landlocked. And, I'm really glad we had this podcasting thing to do because it gives me a way to while away a couple of hours rather pleasantly. Before diving back into the boredom that is hotel existence.
Yeah, I know. And, you know, I I love staying in hotels, but it only lasts about a night. Like, the first night, I'm like, oh, I'm going to lean. What are you going to do? Oh, I'm going to lean back. I'm going to watch some TV. I'm going to just read. And then by the second night, you're like, okay, there's nothing to do.
Right. I came well prepared. You know, there's the computer. I got a good book. I got the TV. Right. I got an iPod full of stuff. And I uploaded a bunch of podcasts to it before I took off. And been keeping myself busy. It's been good. You know, the big problem with these you know, business things they send you to, which are conferences, is all I do is sit, watch a PowerPoint presentation for an hour.
Right.
Get up, go to another room, do the same thing. And in between, every time you walk out of the room, there's another snack buffet set up. And so you eat too much sweets, and you drink too much pop and too much coffee. And by the end of the day, you just feel icky.
Yeah. And it's like... It's an interesting idea, too, because it's like, well, we realized that it took you a lot of energy to move from this room to that room. So
you better have like a 1,400 calorie snack.
Midwestern potato extravaganza.
Sunday when I got here, I booked around Tampa.
Oh, that's
hung
good.
Hung out at a mall, went to Burger King.
What did you have at Burger King? A juicy flame broiled burger?
I had a flame broiled burger.
Wow.
Yes, I did. And onion rings.
Wow.
Because, you know, they're fried, but inside isn't potatoes.
Right.
But so that must be better somehow.
And it's a, some sort of vegetable. So
onions are a vegetable. I've heard that.
Yeah. So I think they're I think they're actually healthy.
Yeah, until you coat them in batter and fry them in in trans fats, but you know,
it's just onion skin. It won't hurt you.
Right. It's just onion skin that's half an inch thick. Here, dip it in the barbecue sauce. Came back to the hotel after it was out Sunday, and I've been stuck here since then. Tonight I'll probably get out. Tonight's we're on our own recognizance. Tomorrow night we're supposed to go to a reception.
Oh, okay. Last night, no. Tomorrow night.
Last night there was a reception, and tomorrow night there's a party of some ilk, and it's supposed to be disco themed.
Oh, you're gonna love that.
Would you like to imagine 250 mixture of accounting and IT staff at a disco themed party where there is alcohol?
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Mm. All of us from Midwestern engineering firms.
Great.
So yeah, it's a big potato fest, you know. The dance of the potato of the well dressed potatoes.
Oh,
see them,
man.
Dance.
You know, speaking of big potatoes, I learned today that they're in the UK, what we call a rutabaga, they call a Swede.
Is a rutabaga anything like rhubarb?
I don't know, actually. That's a good question. I don't think so. I think rutabaga is like a big turnip.
Okay. And what's a rhubarb?
Now I don't know what a rhubarb is.
Okay.
I wish I did.
If anybody out there listening knows what a rhubarb is, if you send some email to podcasts@blondeswedes.com, we'd appreciate the info.
Yeah, that would be good. I've actually never known what a rhubarb is, so...
You know, link us to the wiki or something.
Yeah. But I heard a friend of mine made a casserole with, I said, what's in it? She listed off some vegetables, and then she said, and Swede. I'm like, what? You put the Swedes in there? She goes, no, Swede's a big turnip. And I'm like, yeah, pretty much.
I recognize that shape.
Yes, that's our shape.
And the smell when you cut it open.
Yes. Yeah, that's us. Well named.
On podcasting.
We should talk about, you know, this is our second season.
Yeah, we're finally getting picked up, started this process here again.
It was touch and go as if we'd be renewed or not, and it turns out we are.
We finally came to an agreement with ourselves that we'd give ourselves another chance.
Yeah. We had some negotiations, and you know, I thought there for a while I'd gotten a promotion. Mm-hmm. Now I realize that you got the promotion.
Did you swindle yourself?
Yeah.
Yes. I've been promoted to not having to do anything.
That's right. And I am going to be doing all the mixing and that kind of stuff.
Yes,
all that work.
So when we're all done, I'm sending a file to you.
Yeah. And, I was excited about it. I'm still excited about it. Then I realized, hey, cool, I get to do this stuff. And I'm like, wait a minute. I used to be the guy. I was like, well, mm-hmm. See ya, sucker.
Yeah, throw it over the wall and then complain, make snide comments about when will it be ready.
So, yes, I just like to say that I'm expecting a fair amount of payback.
Well, I'm thinking this has been gone so well that you don't have to add it a thing. This is
pretty good.
A little music at the beginning, a little blurb at the end. You're done. You'll be done with this in 15 minutes.
That could be.
Because it's been
moving along.
I've listened to a lot more podcasts lately, and there's a very popular new podcast, Smodcast.
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 What's it about?
It's two guys who sit and talk, like, kind of quietly and not in an excited way about stuff that they're interested in, and they've known each other forever. Does it sound familiar?
Well, yeah, it does, actually.
It's Kevin Smith and his producing partner, Scott Mosier.
Oh, yes, who I've seen, I think, on the extras for Clerks, I believe.
Mm-hmm. And they're just sitting there, and I would not be surprised if they've done a little bit of taking a couple of tokes on...
What are you suggesting?
On some leafy product before they start, because they are really, really mellow. They've taken mellow to a whole new level.
Wow.
And, it's Kevin Smith, and yeah. He's a popular guy. And they've done five of these, and it's an hour of them just talking, and then Kevin gets tired at the very end, and he goes, "Hey, that's another Smodcast. See you next time." They're like number three or four on the podcast list, just from doing that.
Are they interesting at all? Do you like listening?
I don't know.
Do you?
I'm
find
sure they're
interesting
to them. Do I find? Oh, I find. Yeah. You know, there's usually 5 or 10 minutes. It's like ours. You drift in and out, and
yeah, sure.
And there's a couple of points where it's like really, really funny.
Yeah, and that's people have said that about ours too, and I like to think of it that way now. It kind of bothered me at first, but now it's like the soothing voice that's in the background, and you can do whatever you want. You know, mm-hmm. You can check your email, you can garden, you can put the baby to sleep, whatever you want. And then we're here. Mm-hmm. You turn back to us, and hey, we're still here. It's kind of comforting, really, in this time of questioning and doubt.
Anxiety,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Stress.
There's one stable thing in the world, and that's the Blonde Sweets podcast.
It's very predictable in its unstableness.
That's exactly right. But yeah, so I'm excited to do the mixing production. I'd be a lot more excited if Steve Jobs would take my money that I want to give him. Every morning I wake up and I just take it out and I wave my money out the window. I'm like, Steve, today?
In the direction of Cupertino.
That's right. Like, please. And nothing, just crickets. So,
I have my former boss is now working inside of Apple.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so...
See if you can get some.
So I'm sure I'll never hear from him again. just bringing, I could, anytime I want, I can get him fired. I just got to send him an email.
Right.
Remember that stuff you're telling me about, that secret stuff you're announcing in 6 months? Could you tell me that again? Just send that to his apple.com address and, game over.
Yeah.
I think every Apple employee lives in fear of their friends sending them an email.
Yeah, I lost that email that you sent me with that the pricing and everything. If you could send that again, that'd be sweet.
The release date and the
specs.
Yeah,
the release date. I can't find it now.
I really need it because I'm putting up a blog.
Yeah, and do you need that prototype iPod back? Because I can't find it.
Right.
Now I am keen to purchase a new the new MacBook Pro, but right. I don't know when that will
or
be.
At the very least, a revved one.
Yes,
A bump.
Yeah,
just give us a bump, Apple.
Yeah,
You don't need a new case design or something really radical. We just need it a little fresher, just a little fresh,
a little freshen up. That's all I need. Yeah. And so I'll be doing this on my old G4, which is fine, but. Mm. It's in the dank room and,
Right. And it's not like you're going to move it. It's
no.
big.
So this weekend I went through an interesting thing in relation to this. I found myself online pricing Vespa scooters.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I had decided that I was going to purchase a Vespa. They're only $3,000 to $4,000. And
for a scooter?
Yeah. Well, the new ones. And... if I wanted a new one, I can get a used one for a lot less. But about an hour later, I finally just sat back and went, okay, You know, I felt like I was having this relationship talk with myself. What is this all about, William? What's going on here, you know? I want a Vespa. No, you don't. You want to spend that $3,000 that Steve Jobs won't take.
Right.
I'm like, yep, that's it. I have it. I want it out. I want it gone.
And, okay, well, here's how you, to cure this is very simple. Get a tripod, put your digital camera on it, yeah, and set the timer. Take a picture of you sitting in your living room with a laptop.
Right.
Okay. Now take a picture of you with a helmet on a scooter.
Right.
Compare these photos. Guess which one has a chance in hell of kissing a girl again in his entire life and make the right decision.
I don't know which one that is. Which one right. is that?
You don't know?
It is not me on a scooter, that's for sure. But
right. It'd have to be a really large scooter.
Yes. Yes. Well,
I mean, have to be like, you know, they'd have to make it.
I was going to say Vespa's
a good 8 inches taller than they are, because otherwise you're going to be with your knees up by your chin and your elbows like out 3 feet. And you're like, what the hell is that?
It's hey,
a kind
baby.
Of praying mantis.
I'm sitting here podcasting, and I look over at my Neil Peart bobblehead, and I was sitting here, I forget what I was doing, working on the Detroit video, which may make it into a video podcast one day, and I'm sitting here, and all of a sudden I hear this clonk, roll, 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 roll. I'm like, what the? I look up, and Neil's head has popped off.
And it's rolling across the room towards the door.
Yeah, it's rolling across, and I'm like, oh my God. And I, you know, there's his body, you know, with just his neck and a spring. So
let's start a rumor that Neil's dead.
Yeah, I was a little frightened. It was an omen. And I haven't figured out how to get his head on straight. So he kind of has this little kind of curious cockeyed, you know. His head's kind of cocked to one side. He's like, that's interesting.
Like a raptor that's about to attack.
But man, I have no idea how that happened. You know, just spontaneous bobblehead decapitation.
Right, spring loaded.
Yeah. So I've got to figure out how to glue Neil's head on again. And what does that mean about, you know, was he disapproving? Because, you know, we have these bobbleheads because they watch over our work. And I don't know what this meant. Does he not like what I'm doing? Terrible.
Yeah, you finally go in there and try to make music for 5 minutes and his head comes off.
That's right. So maybe I should just stop. Maybe, you know. So,
He's all about the writing now.
Well, he is. You know, the motorcycles. Maybe he was telling me to get a scooter.
Yeah, yeah.
That could be.
You start writing scooter journals. my travel from Fremont to some other part of Seattle to a book 380 pages.
Ooh, yo!
The Meaning of Life, Part 7. Death.
Hey, that brings up a question. Have you ever heard?
Have I ever killed anybody? No, I.
Yeah, have you ever killed anybody and then like took over their web presence? No. Internet assets of a dead person. Have you ever thought about it?
I have.
I am sure that people who were the admin contact, all the contacts for domain names, have died.
Right.
And what if their email isn't accessible by anybody else? And and even if they have, you know, heirs or people, you know, who they're related to, who would like to do something, do they just stick there on the web forever until, you know, eventually the domain expires?
Right, and then it goes away.
And then it goes away.
That's a good point.
Yeah, it's like people. That's another asset that you've got to have documented, just like you have your birth certificate and your life insurance forms and
right.
Your living will.
Right.
You need a list of all your ISP logins and
yeah,
the list of the domain names and when they expire, where you post. You know, if there's like a third party thing like LiveJournal or
right.
something that you post to.
Well, the interesting thing with LiveJournal is that's how LiveJournal handles it. Everything mm-hmm. is up. I'm in MySpace too.
Right.
Everything is up until, you know, if it's free, it's up forever. And if it's not, then it's up until, you know, the payment runs out.
But then it reverts to the...
Then it reverts to the free. Yeah, that's a good point. Right. So it's it never goes, you know.
Right.
Unless someone cancels it. It's so interesting, really, to think about it, though.
But you can't even cancel it. I mean, you can stop blogging.
Right.
You can, but they won't remove your content. As far as I know, their policy is your content doesn't get removed, nor does your handle become available.
Right. That is ever. That is, right. And a LiveJournal just shows as a strike through. That's pretty much right. It. So.
Okay. And nobody can.
Nobody can take it again, right?
Right.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I know this came up because you have foolishly made me a technical contact on your domains.
Right. As my first salvo on that. Well, clearly what I need to do is make sure I'm not the only person who can do something with this stuff.
Yeah. I don't know if it's going to be a good move on your part or not. We'll see.
Yeah, don't get you. You know, I got to make sure I stay on your good side.
That's right. Because you know, all of a sudden, people will be
find my domain DNS is goat sexed.
Yeah, or you'll be like, hey, I went out to Shorn Media the other day, and wow,
it's changed.
Yeah, let's just say that. Let's just say it's changed.
My computer is still popping up Windows. I've been doing it for 4 days.
Yeah, well, I think it's an interesting thing, and I've thought about that before, actually. And I think about it in terms of, I just think about it in terms of creative stuff. Like, mm-hmm. you know, if you start posting in blogs, a lot of people with Blogger especially have blogs that maybe two people know about, and they're just posting a lot of private stuff. You go right. and no one may ever find that, and mm-hmm. you know, it's weird to think about it, you know, because anymore there's so much stuff. Like Flickr is a good example. So much stuff that you do you can just put out on the web, and it doesn't exist on your machine anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's this whole other presence of you that's out there, and anyone who gets to your machine can't, you know, have no idea.
Right. It's 1984.
Yeah, right.
You know, the news comes out, and then the news goes away, and then you can't find it again.
Right.
Email is enough like regular mail that we could expect, like, when somebody dies, that would become part of their letters, right? Somebody famous or interesting or whatever, and you collect their letters and maybe publish a book that's comes from their letters. Email would work, but their Twitter log,
yeah,
or their IM logs, probably not going to make it into somebody's historical record.
No, probably not. And you know, especially with IM logs, that's a good example. Unless you know, like with Yahoo, unless you know how to log in, you're never going to see that log.
Right.
So, you know, even IM logs, if there's things in there that you want to share or, you know, would have become part of your legacy, like letters, no one's ever going to see that unless they know how to log in.
Well, not
account.
You. What's funny is on the flip side, it's also immortal because you never know how long stuff's going to stay around, but you're not the one who can access it.
Right.
You know, there's somebody who can. You know, this stuff ends up on a backup tape somewhere.
Right.
And or you just never know. And I guess I recommend we shut the internet down and start just writing letters.
Yeah, that would be good.
And sending cassette tapes to each other. of phone conversations instead of these crazy podcasts.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's this is the last podcast, then, is what we're saying.
The last for the first of the last.
Wow, this season did not last long at all. We just talked ourselves out of a job.
Comments, suggestions, death threats? Send email to podcast@blondeswedes.com. The Blonde Swedes Podcast is a production of Shorn Media in collaboration with Swedes and Things West Coast.